Good evening, everybody. If you will, open your Bibles to John chapter 10. You know, that's what we're waiting for, isn't it? To behold our Savior face to face in all His glory. That's what it's all about, that we may behold Him. Luke quoted my text in his message. It's John 10, verses 27 through 30. And let's read our text together. John 10, verse 27. This is the Lord speaking. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now, the title of the message this evening is "They Shall Never Perish." Are you interested in that? I am, because I know that if left to myself, that's exactly what I'll do. I will perish. If left to myself, I will perish. Now, I want us to consider who it is that he's talking about here that shall never perish, what it means that they shall never perish, and why they shall never perish. First, who shall never perish? Look back at verse 27. He said, "My sheep." Now, there's nothing special about a sheep until he said, "My sheep." That makes it very special. That's precious to me. He said, "My sheep." Well, who are his sheep? Look what else is. Look at verse 29. He said, "My Father, which gave them me." God the Father gave the sheep to Christ from eternity. He gave him a people, chose a people in him from before the foundation of the world. How special is that? That's wonderful. That's so wonderful. The Lord said back in John chapter 6, he said, "All that the Father giveth me, he gave his Son a people. They shall come to me." He said, all which the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing. He's not going to lose one of his sheep. And you know what? The sheep, I love this. The sheep are also called the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife. You think about that. Let me read you a verse. Isaiah 62, verse 5 said, "As the bridegroom," that's Christ, "rejoiceth over the bride," that's his sheep, "so shall thy God rejoice over thee." Is that not amazing? Who else are the sheep? Look back at our text, verse 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." You know, the sheep, God's sheep, they hear one voice. You know, there's only one voice. That's God. The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. David just read about it. The Lord our shepherd. That's who we hear. We come to this place week in and week out desiring to hear the same voice. Perhaps a different man, but the same man. Does that make sense? Christ, who speaks through his word. Have you heard him who speaks by his word? Oh, I pray we would tonight. Look up at verse 2 in our text. He said, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." Has he called you by name? We just read the shepherd. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. Do you remember Martha? He said, "Martha, Martha, you're troubled and careful about many things, but one thing is needful." You know, it doesn't go on to tell us what happened after that, but I think I have good reason to suppose that she probably put the dishes down, put everything away, went and joined Mary right there in the floor at the Lord's feet. Because his sheep hear his voice. Remember their brother Lazarus? He heard his voice, did he not? "He which was dead, Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. I pray that we might hear his voice tonight, as if for the very first time. Who are the sheep? Look at verse 27 again. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Is that not comforting to you? to know that the Lord knows them that are his. Oh, I find such comfort knowing that. You remember what he told Jeremiah? He said, Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, it was me that formed you in the belly. And before I did that, I knew thee. I ordained thee a prophet long ago, long before you were even a thought. You were in my thoughts. I purposed you. I knew you from eternity. You see, salvation is not so much, do I know him? Though that is certainly so. It's, does he know me? Does he know my name? Oh, I pray that he does. You know, many will claim to have known him in that day. Lord, Lord, they claim to know him, but what does he confess? I never knew you. He must know me. He must know us. And I also have reason to rejoice because his disciples, you may recall in Luke chapter 10, he sent out many disciples to preach the gospel and heal the sick. And they came back and they were so excited. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. What did he tell them? He said, oh, don't rejoice over that. I'll give you something to rejoice about. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now that's cause for rejoicing. To know that our names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. Who are his sheep? Look at verse 27 again. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We follow him. Look up at verse 4. It says, when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. We follow Christ and him alone because he is the one we hear. We hear his voice alone. We hear his voice alone. We follow him. He has called us by name. As verse 4 just told us, he called us by name. We hear him and we follow him. Do you recall when the Lord came to Peter and Andrew and he called them? They were fishing. And he said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. What did they do? They forsook their nets and they followed him. You know, you read that. You read over in Matthew chapter 4. It honestly, you try to put yourself in their shoes. You think, this stranger came up to them and called them. Oh, he was no stranger. That was the shepherd of the sheep. Those were his sheep. Of course they followed him. And right after that, he went down and saw James and John with their father Zebedee in the ship. And he called James and John. He didn't call their father. He didn't call the hired servants in the ship. He called them. He said, follow me. And immediately they left the ship. They left their father. They left the hired servants. And they followed him. Do you get the picture? God, his sheep, follow him alone. We follow him. You know, the way people speak of God is so awful, as if he's just begging for someone to please follow him. That's not our God. That's not our God. God says, follow me. We follow him. And we're happy to do it. It makes us willing. Makes us joyful. Who shall never perish? The sheep. Only the goats shall perish. Read about it in Matthew 25. But not the sheep. Not one of his sheep shall be lost. Well, what does it mean that we shall never perish? I just said it. We follow him and we'll never be lost. Yes, once I was lost, but now I'm found. I was lost, but he found me, wandering far from my home, clothed in garments so filthy, yet he made me his own. We once were lost, but Christ found us. He found us. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep. He was sent for the lost sheep. Bob, isn't that good? Of the house of Israel. I'm so glad. Because all we like sheep had gone astray. Is that what the book says? We'd all turned everyone to our own way. But Christ found us. He found us on purpose. You mentioned Noah found grace. God's grace found him. And then he found God's grace. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And once we've been found by the shepherd of the sheep, we can never again be lost. Never again. We just sang it. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Keep us. And he does. And he will. What does it mean that we shall never perish? It means that we shall never die. Turn over to John chapter 11. I just mentioned Lazarus. We're going to look at this. You remember what happened. Martha came to the Lord. Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. My brother's sick. And the Lord, you know, waited. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing, that he should make his glory known. Well, then he came, and Lazarus was dead. He told her, Lazarus is dead. And she was upset. She said, Lord, if you'd have been here, if only you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And what did he say? Look here in John 11, verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Look at this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you know anybody that's been dead who's been given life? I'm talking spiritually. Because I believe I'm looking at a lot of people who were dead, whom God has quickened and given life. Look at it again. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's the truth of the gospel. Christ is our life. We're dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is in him. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I ask you the question he asked Martha. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? And look what she said. I love her answer. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. In Christ, we live. For me to live is Christ. To die is gained. If we're in Christ, we must drop this robe of flesh. Yes, but for the believer to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, I love thinking about that. What does it mean that we shall never perish? Look up at our text, verse 28. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We will never leave the hands of our God. We will never leave his side. We will never leave his presence. The fact that we will never perish means that we shall never, never be separated from God. You see, that's what heaven is. It's being with God. It's beholding Christ in his glory. Over in Romans chapter 8, it tells us, lists several things, and it tells us that nothing, not even death, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Again, death is the stepping stone. We lose our sin, and we're right there with him at his feet forever, singing his praise. We will spend eternity with our Lord. And you know what? A lot of things satisfy us in this life. But truly, we're not satisfied. We're content. He tells us, in all things, be content. But you know, we'll be satisfied when we awake in his likeness, conformed to his image, seeing him as he is. That's the believer's satisfaction. David just read this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why shall we never perish? Because the Lord, Jesus Christ, is our shepherd. There's our hope. Look at verse 11 of our text. He said, I am the good shepherd. What a statement. That's who our Lord is. He's the good shepherd. Let me tell you a few things about the good shepherd. The good shepherd provides for his sheep. You think Christ, if an earthly shepherd provides for and feeds his sheep, do you think Christ is going to feed his sheep? He commanded, that's what his preachers are to do, to feed his sheep. Feed us with knowledge and understanding of Christ, our shepherd. And the Lord provides for his own. We just read it, I shall not want. The Lord asked the disciples, lacked ye anything? He sent them out with hardly nothing. And they said, no, Lord, we've not lacked anything. Because as long as we have Christ, we have everything. We're complete in Him, totally, fully complete. The Good Shepherd leads His sheep beside the still waters. He makes us graciously. You know, we think of make as a hard word. When it comes to the Lord making us, it's such a good word. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Oh. He comforts His sheep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. That's the only reason I'm comforted, because Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. All our comfort is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no comfort. There's no rest. There's no peace anywhere but in Him. The Good Shepherd protects His sheep. He said, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He said, No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. None. If God be for us, who can be against us? He sent His disciples out and He told them, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. We're safe and secure in Him. And most importantly, the Good Shepherd loves. We're going to see this. He loves His sheep. You know, anytime we come into this place, we ought to think about. And anytime we hear a message or definitely stand to preach, we ought to be thinking about the love of God in Christ. The gospel is a loving message. It's wonderful. Oh, it's so wonderful, so loving. The shepherd has sheep whom he loves. And you know what? It's shameful for someone to say or imply that God loves everybody. Because it's very obvious that not everybody loves God. There's a lot of empty seats here. But I believe I'm looking at people who love God. The shepherd loves the sheep, and the sheep love the shepherd. We love Him because He first loved us. If God loves you, that love is going to earn your love in return. It's not going to try to. It will. It will. He that loveth not knoweth not God. God is love. Look at verse 11 again. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Turn over to John chapter 15. John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We just read that the good shepherd giveth his life. That's everything he had. Giveth his life for the sheep. No greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. Now I find this so comforting. If we're his sheep, and I believe we are, we're also his friends. And we're going to see we're much more than that too. It just keeps getting better. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. He laid down his life for his friends. Look at John 10, verse 16. He said, And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Don't you love that? One fold and one shepherd. He said, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. Oh no. But I lay it down of myself. That's love. He gave himself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, sacrificed himself on purpose. Like you said, he went to that cross wearing that crown of thorns on purpose, out of love, to save his people from their sins. That's why he did that. That's why he laid down his life, to save his people. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why. Look at verse 27 of our text again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Why shall we never perish? Because the Lord is our shepherd. And because he gives unto us eternal life. I just said he laid down his life. He gave his life for the sheep. And as a result of him doing that, something wonderful happened. He saved all for whom he died. Isn't that amazing? Now, This matter of eternal life, he said, I give unto them eternal life. Not everybody knows this, but eternal life is a gift. Scriptures are abundantly clear on this matter. It's not something we can earn. It's not something we can work for, and then we'll get there. I've arrived. Oh, no. It's a gift. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Eternal life is the gift of God. Look at verse 23 of Romans 6. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the wages of sin is death. We need to understand what that says. You and I are nothing but sin. It's not simply what we do. It's what we are. We're corrupt within and without. It's all we are. We have a heart problem. Sin is what we are. It's all we are. And God says that the wages, the punishment, the just recompense of sin is death. Death. That means you and I deserve, to perish in our sins. The message is they shall never perish. But the fact of the matter is, in and of ourselves, that's exactly what we deserve, is to perish. I need forgiveness. My sins are more than the hairs of my head. I can't put a number to them. I need pardon. I need peace. Because God will punish every single sin. And don't be mistaken. You know, people think you can outweigh the good with the bad. And God doesn't. God says there is no good. None good but God. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness of sin. No pardon. No peace. And it's not just any bloodshed can put away sin. Sinful blood cannot put away sin. It takes the holy blood of God. That's why Christ came in the flesh. Holy blood of God that put away sin. Let's read Romans 6:23 again. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to ask you a simple question. Are you interested in this gift? Eternal life, the gift of God? Are you interested in this gift? Eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Over in John 17, he said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There's eternal life, and eternal life is in God's Son. Eternal life is in Christ alone. In 1 John chapter 3, John tells us, and ye know that he, the Lord Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins. Now, if he was manifested to take away our sins, I think he took away our sins, don't you? The Psalm 103 verse 12 tells us, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. It's hard to preach without turning to this passage. This is just so glorious. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins, but this man. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That right there is why we shall never perish. It doesn't matter how many sacrifices you stand and make to God. There's one sacrifice God will accept, and that's the sacrifice of his Son. We heard about the Passover Christ. When he sees that blood covering you, he'll accept you. We have no acceptance apart from Christ. None. He is our He is our redemption. He, by one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. He obtained eternal redemption for us. He did it all. Jesus paid it all. That's why we'll never perish. And one more reason. Turn back to our text, John 10. We shall never perish because Christ our shepherd is God Almighty. I can't explain that. But look at verse 28 again. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's comforting. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What assurance. You know, what is it? Is it Allstate that says you're in good hands? Well, as far as our souls go, if we're in not only Christ's hand, but the Father's hand, I like to think of there being two hands, Christ's hand and the Father's hand, and we're in both. Be enough to be in one, wouldn't it? And we're in God's hands. We are in good hands. We're in the best hands possible. We're in the hands of God Almighty. We just read God is greater than all. The scriptures say that Christ is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He alone is God, our Savior. And we're in his hands. And we read twice, no one's going to pluck us out of his hand. No, no one. It's not possible. Nothing can separate us from him. Now I'm going to show you one more thing here and then we'll be done. In verse 30, the Lord said, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Now turn over with me to John 17. I and my Father are one. He is one with God. You know, some religious people accused him because they said, you make yourself equal with God. You make yourself one with God. And they took up stones to stone him. I find great comfort knowing that he's one with God. But not only is he one with God, look what I'm going to show you here in John 17. In verse 9, he said, I pray for them. Aren't you glad? I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they're thine. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He pleads our case. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He prays for us. You know, I rejoice to hear that one of you is praying for me, but I rejoice far more to know that Christ prays for each one of his sheep. He always has. Even when we put him to death, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Look down at verse 20. He said, Neither pray I for these alone. He said, Father, I've given them thy word, and they've received your word. They believe you. What did we just read in John chapter 10? He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them must I also bring. That's us. That's us. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Do you see that? I said, Christ is one with the Father. Now look at this. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Is that not astonishing? That they may be one in us? Oh, that makes my heart rejoice. And look at verse 22. He said, and the glory which thou gavest me. Now look at this. I have given them. What? Not only has he made us, Bob told us this morning, he's made us kings and princes with God. He's made us one with God. He has given us his glory. Oh. Oh. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He has made us one with him, one with God, and given us his glory. Now lastly, look at verse 24. The Lord said, Father, I will. Now when he says, I will, you can take that to the bank. Look at it. Father, I will, that they also, whom thou hast given me, the sheep, be with me where I am. That's why we'll never perish, because he prays, Father, I will that all those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Where's that going to be? What are we going to be doing when we're with him? Look at the last part of that verse. That they may behold my glory. Like Bob said again, casting our crowns that he gives us, throwing them down at his feet, because he's worthy of all glory. He said that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You know, that's what glory will be. That's what heaven will be for all of his sheep. We're going to behold him in his glory. We will gather around the throne singing that beautiful hymn, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He's worthy. He alone is worthy. Is that not comforting to you? Oh, it's so comforting to me. I want to read that text one more time. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Praise be to our great shepherd, who will not let us perish. Amen.